Your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. We started in the book of Proverbs last week, where the title of the study was, If They Entice You, Do Not Join With Them. And, that's wisdom speaking. The world is in hatred towards God. The world rejects the wisdom of God. The world is pursuing pleasure, and as even our last Pauline letter in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last eight perilous times, because people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, seeking all the things that are at enmity with God. And what God's Word tells us, if we're going to live in wisdom, is we cannot walk with the world. That we're going to not join them when they entice us to join them. And this week, the emphasis is going to be to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to not lean on our own understanding and to not be wise in our own eyes. So often, every day, you and I are faced with decisions in everything. At the workplace, people are entering into a conversation and there's going to be the flesh that's going to either join them or be a witness to them of the things of God, and that's a decision. And there's decisions in how we talk to one another as husbands and wives and as children, decisions about what we're going to spend our money on, decisions about how much time we're going to devote to various different things. And what God is saying is, don't rely on your own wisdom, your own understanding in making those decisions, but rather to use the wisdom of God and to let Him rule us in making the choices of life. And as a lead in this section, these first few chapters are really like a professor walking in a classroom on opening day of a class on wisdom. The rest of the Proverbs are going to be short little statements of wisdom. But the professor is saying, hey, this is it. If you want to live in wisdom, you'll have life. If you want to reject wisdom, you'll have death. And we're still in that kind of a message. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, My son, if you receive my, and this is wisdom of God through the instructor, Solomon, and to the class of children, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand and fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So in those five verses, there's an emphasis of everything possible about what it takes to search after the wisdom of God. It's to receive it, to treasure it, to incline your ear to it, to apply it to your heart, to cry out for it, to ask for it, to seek it, to search it. And if you do, you'll have the understanding of God. And to look at the application of that, then it would be to ask the question of ourselves, what do you most want to receive in life? See, what Solomon says to his classroom of people that want to be wise is, what with wisdom, you should be wanting to receive it. So what do you want to receive the most in life? And and just think about this, the way to ask the question is, if you had a wish, if you were told whatever you wish, you get to have it, what would you wish? Ask yourself the question. And almost away from church, in your normal life, if somebody said, you win a prize, and basically everything that's available, it doesn't matter how much it costs, it's available. What is it that you really wish you had? And what the Bible would say is that what the instructor is telling us, what God is telling us, is your answer should be as the same as it was in Solomon in our study last week. I really want wisdom. Really? You could ask for fanciest car, best job, best house, best, your own Learjet. You could ask for anything, and you're saying you just want the wisdom of God? Yes, that's exactly what we should. This is what it's teaching us. And how do we get the wisdom of God? Well, it would be by knowing what God's Word says. I dare say that very few, if you were to canvass the whole planet, what would you really want? It would be something tied to something that money can buy. That's what most people on this planet would ask for. And how crazy that is, because it buys it today. By the laws of entropy, it's going to rot sometime. I don't care what it is, it's going to rot. And when we die, it's going to be meaningless. And yet that's what most people want. And yet the wisdom of God is priceless and it lasts forever. And that's what God is telling us to all seek after. Where is your treasure? It says that we're supposed to treasure it. Where is your treasure? I've asked before, let's say you got chained up by, somebody broke into your house, tied you up with zip ties. They're not going to hurt you, but they're taking stuff out of the house. And you're saying, oh, don't take that. Don't take that. Oh, anything but that. What would it be? And again, for me, it'd be, oh, please just leave the hard drive here. It's got my Bible study notes on it that's been a lifetime and, my Bible and stuff like that. But there'd be other things in my life that, oh, please don't take that. Don't take my garage. I really like my garage. So what do you treasure in life? What do you incline your ear to? Just think about that. Because again, incline our ear to the wisdom of God. Are we listening to the Word of God? A good chunk of my life, especially earlier on when I wanted to know the Word of God, is if I'm driving along, I've got a teaching tape from Chuck Smith or other just plugged in. I want to hear the Word of God. I want to be taught by people that know the Word of God. Back when there were cassette tapes. And today, and especially since the NSA is, there's a handout over there about how the NSA has built this new place in Utah, $2 billion, that's going to just gather all the information of everything you write in your emails, everything you purchase, everything that you do, so they can have complete control of everybody in the face of the planet. What if they dialed up you, what is so-and-so listening to? What's being downloaded on Netflix, or what are you watching on Hulu? What Reebok and what's downloaded music? What if somebody were to just sit there and have all that information, they'd know quite a bit about you. That's why the government wants to do it. That's why you hear all these politicians, they run for office and it ultimately comes out, this is what they bought at the video store or downloaded or whatever else. You can know a lot about what do we want to incline our ear to? And the Bible would say we should be inclining our ear to the wisdom of God. We should be listening to God-glorifying music. And especially you young ones here, that means you're going to have to not join your peers. You're going to have to say, no, I don't want to listen to that. Why? Your mommy, daddy won't let you? No, because my precious Jesus told me to incline my ears to things that are spiritual instead of listening to that garbage that's coming through your MP3 player. If you were in solitary confinement, what would you cry out for? As we're getting closer and closer to police state, I'm starting to think about this. People have told us there's all these detention centers that have been built all over the country. And, if I get put in there, what am I going to do? And I've actually planned in my mind to go on a hunger strike for a Bible if they don't give me a Bible. I'm going to do it. And so don't worry about coming and visiting me a month after I get in there if they don't give me a Bible, because I've already purposed, I'm going to say, I want my Bible. If you don't give me a Bible, then I'm not going to eat. Just make it an issue, and because I'm not going to want to be in a detention center without Juanita for more than a month anyway, so it doesn't matter. You die in a month, by the way, when you don't eat. And so what are you searching for, seeking and searching for in life? If it's anything other than the wisdom of God, then you'll never be satisfied. See, I get satisfied and I don't get satisfied. When I am, like you and like everybody, spending some of my life in things that do not matter, it's really not satisfying. It doesn't really, it's fun for a moment, but it doesn't satisfy. But when I'm doing things that Jesus would have me to do, I feel a satisfaction, a deep soul satisfaction. That lasts for a long time. And that's what Solomon is saying. If you seek her as silver, verse 4, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand and fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. So if we seek the wisdom of God, then the Holy Spirit will take the wisdom of God, knit it into our hearts, and it will govern our lives. And he will guard our ways by doing so. And Steve Hawkins gave me permission to actually use the story. He called me this week, and he said, Kevin, last week we were talking about Proverbs, and I decided I'm going to ask for wisdom. And my wife and I were thinking about buying an RV, and we went. This guy had a really screaming price, a really good price on an RV. It wasn't Craigslist, and we went way out to go look at it. And I said, God, give me wisdom. And while I was standing there talking to this guy and saying, I really want to look it over good, his phone keeps ringing. And he answers the phone and he says, you know what, I've got a guy I'm showing it to. If he doesn't buy it, then I'll talk to you. So call me back. But he's wanting to buy it. Hangs up the phone. A couple minutes later, another call comes in. Another person is saying they're interested. Another person is interested. Then this guy drives up in a vet and says, you know what, I saw your ad and, talked to you before and I'm ready to give you cash. Well, I'm talking to this guy right here, and as soon as I get done talking to him, and God gave Steve the wisdom that, it's like I'm feeling like I've just got to buy it now or miss the deal. It was all a scam. The guy in the vet was his friend. The guy in the vet had been making the calls to make it seem like you had to do it right now or lose the deal. And then the guy in the vet drives up to just kind of, this guy's not biting on this phone call thing that always works, and so I'll drive up and offer cash. Because Steve drove off afterwards, the Lord put a check in his spirit. This buy it now is just not, that's the flesh, and I'm going to just wait on God. And he drove up and got out of sight of the guy, but he could look down, and the guy in the vet came back, and they smoked and joked together, jumped into the car and drove off. And nobody else came. So, right, Steve? Okay. So I didn't mess up. You know how you have to tell the story, right? He said, that's what happened. But see, if he wouldn't have had the propensity to say, God, give me wisdom, and let these things that I don't have to have this thing right now, and I can just, and as he was looking it over, he found a wet spot in the roof where the roof was leaking, and the guy didn't want him to find that. The guy wanted him to just panic, I got to buy it now or lose it, and he was doing this whole corruption thing, counting on knowing how to get to Steve's flesh. But see, the enemy can't get to our flesh if we're guarded. See, it says, God guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints if we have that shield of God's wisdom to protect us from the things of the flesh. If we don't listen to the word of God, if we don't have that wisdom, we're just cannon fodder out there. And by the way, it's getting bad out there. It used to be a handshake meant something. It used to be that people weren't lying and scamming you all over the place. It is getting horrible. I could tell you disasters from now till time to go, but I won't. So he guards our paths. Praise God. If we listen to his wisdom, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. If we live by God's wisdom, then we will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and a good path. And for many years, for over 150 years, the people in our country that went on in life to be our leaders, our governors, and everything else, they were all taught the Bible. They were all taught the wisdom of God. All the way through school, they heard about it, they know the stories, everything else. And so if we starve our nation from ever hearing the things of the Word of God, then we're also starving them from equity and justice and all these other things. So should we be surprised now that we're seeing a complete lack of equity and justice in everything that's happening? No, we shouldn't be surprised. But we can bring it into our own family. We can bring it into our own lives. We can bring it into our own workplace because we fear God and want to walk in accordance with His wisdom. Verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. True believers walking in the Spirit of God, walking in the wisdom and Spirit of God, will not be hanging with people perverse and going after the evil of the world. You can tell somebody's spiritual maturity by who they hang with. If they hang with people that love God and fear Him, then they're wanting to walk in maturity. If they're hanging with, I've had cruddy buddies in my time, what I call cruddy buddies, in my time in the shipyard, I interact with them, but I'm interacting with them to try and bring life into their life, bringing the truth into their life. I'm not hanging with them. It's not like go out, oh, come on, Kevin, let's join us. We're going to go after work. We're going to go to the bar. Your wife's out of town, right? Or, you know, won't care. You can tell her something. No. They knew not to ask. They knew it would be no. Because we're not hanging. And that's what it says, to deliver you from the way of evil, from those that speak perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. It amazes me, and I didn't even know about this movie that's coming out, or the books, the trilogy book series, until this week. The new movie that just is supposed to break all box office records this week, called The Hunger Games. And I talked to a couple of people about it, and one of the critiques that I saw, or one of the write-ups, not critiques, nobody's critiquing it, the whole world loves it, is that this movie is dark at times. And it's about, not haven't seen it, not going to see it, because I don't want to be into dark at times. But from what I've read, it's about a group of 24 people in a time of collapsed society, a future apocalyptic scenario that America's collapsed. Food is, I guess, shortage. There's a shortage of food. And so these 24 people enter into a game to the death. Only one survives. And there's warnings that it's violent and dark. I'd imagine it has to be violent because 23 have to die. And people were sitting outside the theaters at midnight to get the first tickets. It's the most booking that's ever come in for a movie. They interviewed all these young people that are sitting there. I read all the books. I can't wait till this movie. This is the best thing that has ever happened in my life, was an NBC Nightly News quote. And then they were equating it to, it's just like the craze for Harry Potter, dark, and for Twilight, dark. Our society is headed for darkness. And what's really frightening to me is that really what this movie is about is blood games, what they call blood games. There was another time that society was pretty much collapsed. There was a new world order at the time, about 2,000 years ago. It was called Rome. And you know what the people really loved? What really they love more than anything else? They love going to the Colosseum and watching people die. And there was a Roman leader at the time who evaluated the collapse of the society and the debaseness of man and said, all we really have to do to give these people to be our slaves forever is give them bread and give them the games, and they'll be putty in our hands forever. They'll do whatever we tell them. You know, make me a Colosseum? Sure, as long as you give me something to eat and games. And then the games had to keep ramping up. It's getting boring just watching people run chariots around in a stadium. You know, football's boring. can't we have something a little bit more bloody? Oh, somebody dies in a chariot race. Oh, can't we have something a little bit more bloody? Yeah, gladiator kills criminal. Can we have something, that's boring. How about lots of ways of killing Christians? Yes, we really like that. Because it's dark, because it's evil, because it's coming from Satan. And we're seeing the beginning of a collapse. In fact, I read a book years ago that came out of a think tank group in the 60s about the formation that, major government thinkers, if we create a global government where people aren't warring anymore, we're going to have a problem with population. What are we going to do? And one of the proposals, one of the things that they said they needed to do is we're going to have blood games. We're going to have to introduce blood games into the society so that we can entertain the people, because people like to hear about, wars and this and that, and we need to control the population. And that's what we're going to do. And then I'm sitting there, and that was 60s, and so here we are 50 years later, we're at the very verge of the whole world saying we need global government, we need global religion, we need global finance, and then they're popularizing and hyping up and marketing a movie that's the beginning of blood games. And someday, people are going to do it. I mean, the Bible says the world's going to be heading to a time of trouble that very few will survive. Again, it says in verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness. So here's what wisdom of God is telling us to do. Whether we want to obey it or not, this is what it's telling us to do. stay away from darkness. And if you're really going to be into darkness, it better be because you're going in there to try and witness and to discern the things to help people that are trapped in darkness, rather than joining it and saying, I'm loving it and I like this dark stuff. Because this is what the Bible says in John 3:17, which is right after the famous John 3:16. And turn there quickly to John 3:17. Because it's what we love. I mean, we as believers, we should disdain the darkness. That's what it says by John the Apostle, quoting really the ministry of Jesus in John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. When we were in the mall, Jeremy and I and Jade were in the mall witnessing to people that came by. There was one guy that was just, you know, talking, and so many people that we run into just have this attitude of God just throwing people into hell. And it's so important for us that He isn't throwing anybody into hell. We're already on our way to hell. We were all lost in our trespasses and sins on our way to hell. God is trying to rescue us away from where we're headed. But He doesn't make us. He came that we might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. If I believe in Jesus, I have been removed from the path to condemnation. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Some people just love darkness. You know, there was another movie that opened up Friday. It was called October Baby. It was another movie made by a Christian church that has, you know, popularized these movies like Courageous, that it ministers a true gospel message, like Fireproof, true gospel message. This one is giving a message of the importance of life in the womb. I don't know how well it's doing, but I know it's not doing as well as the Hunger Games. Because the world is loving darkness, but we should love the light. And I am hoping to go soon to go watch October Baby. And to see the message and see the gifts of God working through people to try and remove the curse of the abortion, you know, mindset that has come upon our people and is bringing a curse upon us because people are being deceived into killing life in the womb, which is dark in itself. So we should love the light. The world loves the darkness. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So going back to Proverbs 2:12, we see in the New Testament, Jesus is for people that want light. The world is for people that want darkness. And God has given us, human beings, this time on earth to decide what we want. You want darkness? You want light? And the closer you get to Jesus, the more offensive to our soul the darkness becomes. When I first got saved, I was so living in the darkness that, you know, I used to be repulsed by the light. But when I loved the light, then I decided to start going towards the light. And at first, the darkness still had its, you know, it had its familiarity. It still was there. But then I've looked, and looking back at my life, I've realized over the years, the closer I get to the light, the more and more I disdain the darkness. But that doesn't happen automatically. It isn't like, you know, God turns a dial in your life and just, okay, it's been this many years, so this is what it's based on our attitude day by day. It's based on our attitude of how important was it for me to pick up the Word of God today? How important was it for me to go to fellowship this week? How important was it for me to hang around Christians? How important was it for, even when my flesh said, yeah, wouldn't it be nice to go indulge in that way again, that you say, you know what? No, I'm just not going to do it. So we should, over the years, see ourselves loving the light more and more as we move on with Jesus. To deliver us from the ways of darkness, verse 13, who rejoice in doing evil, going back to Proverbs, who rejoice, deliver us from those who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. You know, again, the second letter to Timothy, Paul says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. we should be staying away from those that love iniquity. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress, who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. This is talking, and Proverbs deals with this quite a bit in the following chapters, deals with, in their culture, it was not very much of an opportunity, there was not very much of an opportunity for men to seduce women. In our culture, it goes both ways. We need to read this differently for our culture. To deliver you from the immoral woman, or for you women, the immoral man. From the seductresses of both sexes, who flatter with their words, who forsake the commandments of their youth and forget the covenants of God, both men and women. And by the way, if you're single here, you know, this is talking about adulterous woman. She's married to somebody and she stands outside her door when a man is walking by and says, "Hey, my husband's out of town, want to come in?" And what Proverbs is saying is God's wisdom will keep you from her. And for you girls, there's going to be guys that are going to be doing their thing, the seductresses, and God's wisdom can keep you from them. And we are living in such perilous times in that way too. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine from New York this week, and we're just discussing the perilous times and some of these issues. And he told me, "Kevin, there's a young man in our church that he really wants to serve Jesus, and he's going to the public school. And he had to come home to his mom and tell her, you know, 'Mom, you need to have my phone. And you need to screen it. I mean, I need to use it at times, but could you please screen it? Because the girls in the school were sending him pictures to try and stumble him.'" And that's again, like I told you, that stuff's going on in fifth grade here at Port Orchard. Because when we were teaching him about David and Bathsheba, and sometimes people are going to try and give you pictures and images, something that wasn't possible in David's day. And they said, it's already happened. So here we have a technology that is allowing seductresses to just so, and see what it says, to deliver you from the seductress. See, there's a seduction to our flesh. I mean, anybody with a normal flesh is going to be enticed. It's going to be terrible to try and for these young men to put down everything their flesh is screaming when somebody sends them a picture. No. And get it out of my, Jesus, get it out of my mind. Protect me, Mom. And what about when Mom's not there? What about everything else? The world is just hating us. It's targeting this guy because he's a believer. They're trying to corrupt him. But the wisdom of God, see, he had wisdom of God. "Mom, I want to fear God. I need your help. Help me." A foolish man, a foolish young man would have said, "Oh, my mom doesn't know, and you know, I'll feast on these things that, you know, they say I can't have." No, he was driven by a fear of God. The fear of God is there all the time to deliver us. If we listen, and everybody here knows the seductresses are all over the place. You can plug the seductress into your DVD player. You can type it out in your keyboard. There's a seductress that can be dialed up at any time, any place, for free, in some cases. And it'll destroy your soul, is what the Word of God says. For her, verse 18, for her, or his, house leads down to death. And her, his paths to the dead. None who go to her, or him, return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Because when you really do say, "Oh, give up and let's go in with the seductress," really the damage that's done, the Bible says in the New Testament, it says every sin that a man commits is outside the body, except for the sin of immorality. Because it comes in and it destroys your body, destroys your mind, destroys so many things. And, you know, in the case of the women, or the forsaking the companion of her youth or his youth, and I want all you single people to realize, you know, that unless God has gifted you to be single the rest of your life, there is a husband for you out there. There is a wife out there for you. And any looking at pictures or getting into other relationships, seductress relationships with other people, you are giving up on that husband or wife of your youth even before you're married. Which is, again, going to destroy you, because then when you do get together with that husband or wife, you're going to have baggage of issues of seductresses and adulteresses and adulterers that are going to be running around in your head, and you can't get it back. That's what the proverb says. You can't totally undo the damage. The blood of Jesus can undo the damage as far as you're forgiven. You're not under condemnation. You can pick up and move on and serve Jesus the rest of your life. But everybody that's stepped into that arena knows it's affected your life. You know, it's done damage. God can pound out the dents and stuff, but you can, that car's been in a wreck. you can take it to the body shop, but when you get it back, you can still tell it's been in a wreck. And God would spare us. His wisdom would spare us these things. When wisdom enters into your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So, how many of you want to go into darkness, evil, and death? Anybody here? Nobody. That's good. We should all be sane to realize we don't want to go into darkness, evil, and death, because those that are into darkness, evil, and death, they're going to be banished. When God comes back, they're going to be gone. He's going to set up His kingdom here on earth, and then He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be for the people that love righteousness. And so how many want to dwell in that land of heaven forever? It takes walking with Jesus. It takes truly believing in Him. See, if you truly believe in Jesus, you will walk with Him. If you believe in Jesus, His Holy Spirit will preserve you. Yes, you will fall into the flesh at times, and you will sin, and you're going to be so grieved about it and so disgusted that you did, because you hate darkness and you love light, that you'll say, Jesus, I got in a mud puddle again. Could you clean me? He goes, sure, I love you, and I'll clean you again. I'm so thankful that we have this relationship, that you came back to me so that I could wash you off. Can you get rid of all the damage I did by falling in the mud? Like my word says, it's not going to be all. The damage is there. There's going to be consequences in the rest of life. But let's just use it as another example in your life to say, let's just start staying away from the mud puddles from now on. And I love you. And when we get to heaven, all the damage is done. There's not going to be anything. But here in this world, in this life, in this flesh, we're going to have consequences for sin. But He would spare us, because His wisdom would keep it from us if we walked with Him in all ways. We are being tested while we're here. What do you love? Darkness or light? What do you really believe, in me or the world? You say you believe in Jesus. Do you really believe in Jesus? It's a test. And the ones who really love light, love the truth, love Jesus, despite our failings, are going to go to heaven, is what it says right there. The ones who really decide, yeah, I kind of like the world better, just like Lot's wife. Yeah, I'll leave the judgment, but I kind of missed the nightlife. She turned into a pillar of salt. Because it was a test, and she failed the test, because she really loved the world more than the things of God. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Exodus 20:12, one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So a godly husband or wife, a father, mother that's telling you, children, please listen to what we're saying to you. The law of God is good. It'll keep you from immorality. It'll keep you from the world. It's so that you will live a long life. Many people shorten their life because they don't listen to the wisdom of God. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Mercy, to let mercy be an example in your life, not giving to people what they deserve. Every family that runs on lots of mercy is going to flourish. Not giving them what they deserve. Man, my husband said this, my wife said that. And I'm going to get back at him. I'm going to say something. Well, no, if you have mercy, They're going to say, I don't have to give you what you deserve. I can be graceful, give you what you don't deserve, and continue to love you and pray that your mercy and grace would improve in your life. You know, the families would be so much better off to be able to love one another and show mercy and grace and bind them around your neck. And if you do this, then you will find favor and high esteem, verse 4, in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. How can I not lean on my own understanding and trust His understanding if I don't know what His understanding is? And that's, again, why we teach through the Word of God. This is His understanding. This is who God is right here in the pages of His love letter to us. If I never read it, I have nothing but my own understanding and what people tell me. But if I read it, I can learn the understanding of God. And then I can not lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, no matter what people are telling me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be thinking that we know better than God's law, but rather fear the consequences of violating God's law. Again, just like the person that told Diane, you know, in the referendum, people ought to be able to marry a rock if they want to. That's kind of leaning on your own understanding. Being wise in your own eyes. Be wise in your own... Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Instead, people should be realizing, our whole population, if the church had done its job over the last several decades in teaching people the truth of God's Word and the consequence of violating it, there wouldn't be that kind of foolishness out there of relying on our own understanding over issues that God has spoken to. It, verse 8, it, fearing the Lord, will be health to your flesh. And if you have a King James, it says navel. And this is, there's a song to these verses, by the way. And strength, marrow, to your bones. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your navel. And some people have asked me the question, why do we sing health to your navel? and marrow to your bones. And you might even have on a study Bible say the actual word means navel. And I think that we miss something by not understanding what it's saying. What is the navel? It's where you got all your nutrients from your parent when you were in the womb, right? Without it, you died. And what are we? We are God's adopted child. And you know what He's trying to do? He's trying to take His word and He's trying to just get it, that nutrition into you. And He's trying to do it as if we're in His womb. Because we're here in this earth, we're born again. You know, we're alive as born-again believers. But in a way, in this earth, we haven't got a clue, just like a baby in the womb. And if we're listening to Him, it's like we're letting our navel, we're letting that nutrients from God's wisdom come into my soul through my spiritual navel. And I am getting strong by the bone marrow that is pumping strength into my bones and into my blood. See, this is actually medical knowledge that's in the Bible that, you know, some of it hasn't been understood until recently. And God's Word has it in there. So if I fear the Lord, it's like I am letting the umbilical cord of God feed me. And if I reject the wisdom of God, it would be just like if somebody could reach into the womb and shut off the cord. What would happen? The baby dies. In fact, some almost, you know, they die because they'll get the umbilical cord wrapped up and cut off the circulation, and children will die in the womb because of that very thing. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So a God-fearing person realizes that what they've received from God, the very job they have, the land they live on, the house that's over their head, the clothes that they wear, everything comes from God, and there will be an attitude of, you know what, I love you, God, for all that you've given me, and I want to give what you have given me to the work of the ministry. In the Old Testament, it was to the priesthood, because the priests were there to help the people to get right with God through the sacrificial system. When the Jews stopped giving to the priesthood, the priest started saying, well, you know, we don't have land. The law doesn't say we're supposed to be working the ground and tilling the land and raising crops. It says we're supposed to be here to help you get right with God. But if you're not going to pay us, what do we have to tell you to pay us? And you can see this in the book of Judges. There was one priest that wasn't getting paid, so he went to a home and, you know, hey, I'm a priest, but I don't have anything to do. Well, why don't you be our priest and you just help us worship this idol that we've made here in the house? Oh, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that for money. And that's what's happening in the world today. So many pastors are being told, you know, we just don't like this message that you're giving us right now, and we're not actually going to even pay for it. So unless you do something else that gets more people in, we're just going to kick you off to the next town. Oh, okay, I'll change the message. What do you want me to say? I'm so thankful to Jesus that we, you know, our leadership here is into teaching the truth until we drop. And that's what I'm going to plan on doing. Even my pastor friend, who had his 20th anniversary as a pastor of a church just, you know, recently. And the people said, you know, Ken, we're so blessed that you teach us the truth. And that was the most meaningful to him. You know, we've been like-minded. We've been friends for years. He was kind of a lost sailor, and he came up to me once. I was in the nuclear prototype in New York, and he had to get a check out from me. I was a staff guy. He was a student, and they had to come to us and get a check out on the different systems. And he came to me for a checkout, and, you know, so we're talking about the charging system, and then we started talking about life. And this is during the hostage time in Iran back in the Carter years. And so I just said, hey, what do you think of the world situation? And he said, I think we need a good war. Because there was talk of war, just like there's talk of war today. And he goes, I think we just need a good war. And he talked a little bit about that, and then he said, why, what do you think? And I said, I think the world needs Jesus. And his whole countenance changed. And he said, really? You really believe that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you know, before I entered the Navy, I went to this ministry, and they bussed me in, and I got saved, but then I went to boot camp, kind of forgot everything, and, you know, you really believe that? Could you tell me more? You started coming to our house to go to Bible study, got serious about Jesus, got other people serious about Jesus, and now he's a pastor, and we've been friends for all these years, keeping in touch. And he found the truth, and he got into the truth, and he's been in the truth. And I so rejoiced to see that one of my buddies that just is hanging in there. And he's the same guy that told me the story about the youth guy that is wanting to serve Jesus in his church. So, yeah, I'm thankful that we have leadership that wants to still teach the truth, and the Lord has always provided for us to be able to teach the truth. But again, in your heart, do you have a giving heart to the things of God? If you do, that's a sign you're mature. That's what it's saying here. It's a sign that you have a heart that's mature in Jesus, that you have a giving heart. If you don't, there's something wrong, because that's what the wisdom of the Holy Spirit inside you should be doing, is to have a heart for the things that are everlasting life. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. And, you know, that's completely quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. I'll let you go there on your free time to just see it embellished on. If you're a child of God, then just like our own children, if we see our own children going astray, and we know they will, because they are foolish, and what we do as parents, because we love them, is we discipline them when we see them going astray. God does the same thing with us. We are his child. When he sees us going astray, he will discipline us. And what the Bible says is when he's doing that, don't get upset. He's trying to get us to love the light more and turn away from the darkness. That's what he's trying to do. And if we get upset and start heading towards the darkness, then the spankings get harder. And what the Proverbs is just saying, just give it up and stop going for the darkness. Just appreciate the discipline of God. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. And that sounds so crazy to people in the world. How could just wisdom be more? But I would rather have a pot of gold. Really? Look at all the people that got their pot of gold in the lottery. More than they could really ever spend. And there's books that have been written about how those people's lives became miserable. It is not money that really satisfies the soul. It is, that when I sit around and I look at the things that the Lord has done for me in my life, the things that I know are awaiting me in heaven, I sit there and ponder the unimaginable wealth that's there. Streets of gold. Forever being with Jesus. The fruits of spiritual life. And realize, if somebody said, give it all up for a pot of gold, Kevin, are you serious? That pot of gold would look like dirt to me. Because of the excellency of knowing the things that we have waiting for us in heaven, eternal life. In her left hand, riches and honor, wisdom of serving God. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And now, wisdom is being talked about in the feminine. That, if we live with King Jesus, we're in peace and pleasantness. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. There's three times the tree of life is talked about in the Bible. For those of you that are familiar with the Bible, you're going to know the first place is in Genesis. The tree of life was in the book of Genesis in the midst of the garden to be able to take care of any ailment that Adam and Eve had that would give them eternal life. Somehow that tree, not explained in detail, but somehow that tree was the source of everlasting life for Adam and Eve and all the children they would have ever had they not fallen into sin. And then when they fell into sin and the world was corrupted, God told the angels, we need to put some cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life so that that mankind cannot eat of the tree of life because he cannot live forever in the condition of sin. And so then man was guarded from the tree of life. And then we see it at the end of the Bible where in Revelation 22 it says that there is a tree of life where there's healing for the nations forever and ever and ever, eternal life for everybody that lives in heaven through the tree of life. And what it says here in Proverbs is that wisdom, the wisdom of God living for him, is the tree of life. We have access to the tree of life by following the wisdom of God. In fact, let's turn to Revelation 22:12. As our summary to that, of this section of Scripture. Summary of really what we've been teaching here today is, and I can't overemphasize, and I tell people this that I witness to on the street, what are we here for? Why did God create Satan if he knew Satan was going to deceive us? Why did he create Adam and Eve with the choice if he knew they were going to follow, All these other things are all wrapped up into this. God knew there would be some people that hated darkness. By our own choice, we would be walking around in this dark world and saying, there's something wrong, and I just wish I could come to the light. And then God prophesied through the Jewish people and the Jewish prophets, there's going to be a light that comes into the world. He's going to be a light that allows anybody, Jew or Gentile, to have everlasting life and to be restored the way that I created the world to be. To live with man forever, where man would be in fellowship with me forever. The light's coming, the light's coming, the light came in Jesus Christ. And most men rejected that light because they loved darkness rather than light. And so all the death and destruction, everything that's been happening, it's not because God takes pleasure in it, it's because man took pleasure in it. Man, under the deception of Satan, took pleasure in it, but he knew that some of mankind would say, but I just hate the darkness, I hate this world. And they would come to the light. And so God has made this way. But we're in a test here on earth to decide which path do we want to go on? Where are we going to be? And in the end of all things, in Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And some people get confused. I thought we were saved by grace. We are. We are saved by grace. Well, what it says here, we got to obey His commandments. What was God's commandment? God's commandment was, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Believe in Him. Listen to Him. Trust Him. That is His ultimate, in this dispensation, it is the ultimate message, commandment from God. Love Jesus because He loves you. You don't love Jesus, then you've disobeyed the commandment. You're living off to serve the world. You love Jesus, you want to turn away from the world. You want to turn away from darkness. You want to have the tree of life and to be saved and born again. But outside, so the people that listen to the commandment of God, to believe in the sacrificial system, Old Testament, you know, the animals showing that there's going to be someday that God's going to send a real sacrifice. That we would believe in the commandment of God to get right and to be turning away from sin. We get to have everlasting life and enter through the gates into the city. But outside, verse 15, outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. The darkness. Outside is the darkness. The ones that love the darkness. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I am the promised Messiah. I am the bright and morning star. I am the one that can heal you and save you. And so we've got a choice. We're in a test. And our mission for those that have passed the test and are receiving Jesus is to try and help other people that do not yet know the truth, that they're on the wrong path if they're loving the darkness, and try and get them to see the light of the love of Jesus while there is still time. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we do so struggle, Lord, at times, and just being around in this world and the different things tugging at our hearts and things of the flesh, things of the darkness. And Lord, we just pray as Your people for those here that truly trust in You and believe in You by faith, that we pray, God, that You would help us through Your Word to discern the darkness and to flee from it, to discern the light and run to it, to not lean on our own understanding, but in every way to acknowledge Your Word and Your ways in our life, that we could die to the things that are getting between us, Lord, the things that are distracting us from that walk with You that would be fruitful, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And we thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is joy in the Lord, there is love in His Spirit, there is hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain that flows like a river from heaven, abounding in love to my soul. All blessing and honor are His. All glory and power are His. Let all wisdom and strength be the Lord's in this place. Let all glory be given to Him. There is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain I know, every time I am near it, my heart overflows to the Lord. All blessing and honor are His. All glory and power are His. Let all wisdom and strength be the Lord's in this place. Let all glory be given to Him. There is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of Him.
Amen. There is knowledge in Him, and He just wants us to be so into Him that we have more knowledge. And I pray you'd be strengthened and encouraged, and it really bask in His forgiveness, because it is when we realize what He forgives us from that we really want to get close to Him. And then He's saying, okay, let's walk in wisdom. Let's go on from here. The time is short. Soon we're all going to be in heaven with Him. May God give you the strength to walk in His grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.